Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on list.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
It's 11 minutes after 3 o'clock on this Tuesday. It's a little moist out. My hair has been frizzing a lot.
I love it when you look out the window.
I have to look out the window. Yeah,
the Amish Doppler.
It's like
nice.
Right now.
Yeah, what's the sky look like, Jordana?
It's not like anybody just told me the weather a few minutes ago.
But yeah, but you don't trust me. You still revert back to the window. Great. Thanks.
I trust you. I just trust the window
more. I
feel
like I'm home. My wife.
So what does your damn app say now? Huh? Is it going to rain? Is it going to rain here?
Well, I hope you are having a great 73-degree weather day. And I ate at a food truck today for the first time.
How do you feel?
I feel fine.
Good,
it was a falafel food truck outside.
I haven't
gotten into that part of downtown culture yet. Mm-hmm. Because usually I pack my lunch or I eat at home. But I had meetings all day downtown in the morning. And as I was walking back to work, I saw the food trucks. I said, oh, I'm going to do this very urban thing and eat out of the food truck. It was delicious. I had a falafel.
Some great options. I mean, foodies are in heaven.
It was great. Yeah, lots of options. So hi to the guys in the food truck. His name was Jonathan. He owned the falafel food truck down here on 7th.
Did you get a freebie?
No.
You paid for that falafel?
Of course. Yes, of course. And he said, oh, where are you going? You going back to work?
Falafel mooch.
I totally forgot that we have to do the keyword
cash.
For cash.
You're talking about your falafel. We want to give away a lot of falafels.
I was excited about the new lunch experience.
Oh, Jordan.
Sorry, totally forgot.
It's time for this hour's national contest. Keyword for cash this hour is draft. D-R-A-F-T. One more time, draft. D-R-A-F-T. Text that keyword. You know the number, 72881 for a chance to win $1,000. The number to text is 72881. The keyword this hour is draft. Another keyword coming up at 4:12. Messaging and data rates may apply. Do not text and drive. And I'm talking to you, Jordana.
You know what else we forgot to tell people? What? I did this in the tease, but we're going to talk about embarrassing comments that you've made. Our phone number here is 651-989-9226. 651-989-9226. Because Paul and I were out at an event last week, and we had this experience where he opened his mouth up, and should have gone in first before the words came out. And I nearly fell out of the car laughing so hard.
Well, I could hear you over there cackling. You were cackling.
And I figured this is a story that we should share with you because we've all had this experience of saying something embarrassing, humiliating. We've all embarrassed the other person unwillingly. And we got a big kick out of it. So we'd love to start the day on a high note.
When's the last time you seriously put your foot in your mouth? In spite of best intentions.
651.
Clean stories, if
possible.
Yeah,
that's right. 989-9226. Make us laugh, because we could all use a good laugh.
So I was at this event, and I'm sitting next to this older gentleman, mm-hmm. and he has his laptop open, and I made the mistake of sneaking a peek at his laptop. Mm-hmm. And a beautiful young woman mm-hmm. on his laptop. And just to make conversation and loosen things up a little bit, I said, oh, is that your daughter?
You know where this is going.
Long pause.
You know where
he looks at me. He goes, no, that's my wife. and I go, oh. And how do you recover from that?
Then you said.
I can't even remember. I was mortified.
But under your breath.
He kind of had this grin on his face. He knew that I had stepped in it, and he was just twisting the knife.
So Paul says, oh, good for you.
Well, what are you going to say?
Oh, no. I don't know.
Half his age. Maybe a third of his age.
Yeah, I guess and good I just, for him.
So I made an assumption. It was the wrong assumption, and I felt mortified.
But I guess maybe you shouldn't. He must have been very proud of that fact. He's got the hot wife.
He kind of had this Cheshire grin on his face. So I don't think he was offended. He must get this a lot.
Yeah.
That's probably why he has it as his screensaver. I'm like, really?
All right. Your calls are coming in. 651-989-9226. When did you open mouth, insert foot? Oh, let's make us laugh. We need it. Tim in Lake Elmo. Hi, Tim.
Hi. How you doing?
Hey, Tim.
April of 87, I was running a drug treatment program and got invited to the Elliott Park Businessmen's Association lunch. So I figured I'd go there and make some contact for some of the guys that are recovered and, you know, find them some work or whatnot. Mm-hmm. So the announcer says, introduce yourself to the people and then we'll have our guest speaker. So I introduce myself and some of the people around the table tell me their name. And the guy sitting across from me, you know, this is April of 87. The guy sitting across from me, I said, and what's your name? And he said, Tom Kelly. And I said, oh, what do you do?
That Tom Kelly?
That Tom Kelly.
Oh.
And I manage a baseball team. No, that Tom Kelly. Well, that's not the worst of it. The MC came back up and said, it's now time for our guest speaker, Tom Kelly.
Oh, no.
He comes up there and he says, I was discussing the game of baseball with Tim here, and that's the one with the little white ball, Tim.
Oh, no.
Oh, you poor thing. Oh, well, good for you. I hope you recovered well and you were good friends by the end of the day.
Oh, yes. Actually, my guys got to unload beer barrels at the World Series. They got paid to do that.
There you go. That's okay. Keep speakers humble when you do that.
That's right. Yeah.
Oh, yes.
He kept his head from inflating.
We got to watch the game
for free. Oh, good for you, Tim. Thanks for the call,
hon. Thank you, Tim.
You're welcome.
Thanks for the call. Yeah, that's, you just, oh, boy. You know what happens? Well, people look different sometimes in person. Ed's in Maple Grove. Ed, you got a fun story for us?
Hi. Mine was actually spoken by a waitress. We were at the Black Bear Casino restaurant with my daughter, and the waitress came over and said, oh, are you out on a date with Grandpa? That was 4 years ago, and she's 11 years old right now.
Oh, my.
She still never lets me let it.
She calls you Grandpa?
Yeah, she called me Grandpa.
Oh, no.
Yeah. So my daughter still will throw that jab at me every once in a while. Grandpa, I have some money.
Ouch.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, Ed. Well, good for you for taking it in stride.
Reality bites. I know. Thanks, Ed.
Thanks,
all you can do is laugh, right?
Thanks, Ed. Yeah.
That's exactly it. Yes.
Have a good one. Thanks for sharing, Ed.
Or weep, you know.
Yeah, or weep. I had a terrible
one.
Yeah,
what's your
my
story?
My kid was... She was in a gymnastics class, and there was a young boy in her class who was a little bit slower than the rest of the group, and but trying really hard. But you could tell maybe he wasn't as advanced as the rest of the group.
Okay.
And when they came off the gym floor, you know, his mom was there, you know, and we were greeting all the kids. Oh, good job today. You guys look so cute with your little tumbling and this and that. And I said, oh, he's doing really well. I'm so glad he's in with the rest of the group. And she goes, what do you mean? And then I looked at my kid and I looked at, there was a look of horror on her face. And I said, I just mean he's doing really well. He's doing really well. And then I turned and walked away as much as I could because I thought the kid had special needs and he was not a special needs child. He was an average, regular child. And my kid knew exactly what was about to come out of my mouth. And she was like, Mom, don't even go there. And I hope the mother did not think anything of it and the kid didn't think anything of it. And I just got the heck out of Dodge.
She edited you.
She did.
On the fly.
I could see the look of horror on her face and my stomach sank. And I was like, shut your mouth, Jordana, and move on. Let's see. Do we have time to take some more? We have time to take. What was that, Hammer? Let's take Pete and then we'll do fake news when we get back.
Hey, Pete.
Pete, let's hear your story, sir.
Oh, it's... when I was about 20 years old, I was driving across eastern Montana in an old 55 Chevy, and the generator had gone out, and the battery died, and I was stuck in the middle of nowhere up by Glendive. got a tow in from mechanic into Circle, Montana, on the middle of nowhere. And mechanic went to the junkyard, is a great guy, got a used part, had the truck up and was working on it. His wife was in the garage, and I was making small talk and look at her and go, "Well, when's the baby due?"
Oh God!
And the wrench, honestly, got slipped and clunked, you know, mechanic's
there. Oh.
And she said, "I'm not pregnant."
Oh, I still feel your pain. I think I have done that too. Yes.
Those words right back. Pete. Yeah, all right.
Well, anyway, that's that story. Bye.
Thanks for sharing your pain, Pete.
Thank
I
you,
tell
Pete.
Ya.
And Pete's not the only one with that story. I congratulated a woman who was another parent at my child's preschool on her pregnancy. She wasn't pregnant.
That's from a texter.
You can't really recover. At that point, you just excuse yourself and just leave the building.
And you're done.
And
scene. It's 3:21. We see your fun texts coming in. We'll sprinkle them throughout the show, but thank you for the laugh. We'll try to stump Paul with some fake news when we return on CCO.
I'm not going to give you a question. You are fake news. Go ahead.
Miss Universe is Columbia.
I did not have sexual relations with that woman.
And the best new artist is Milli Vanilli.
Gave alternative facts to that, but the point remains.
Wait a minute. Alternative facts?
A big call to make. CNN announces that we call Florida in the Al Gore column.
Two of our four helicopters were hit by ground fire, including the one I was in.
No kidding.
Read my lips. No.
Welcome back. Boy, your stories are funny. We have some texts. We'll sprinkle them throughout the show.
Yeah, keep them coming. We needed this. I think we all needed this.
Mm-hmm. Now for some fake news. Have you been studying?
I have not. Why bother?
Dateline, Colorado. A woman in Aurora was cited by police officers Thursday after allegedly damaging a microwave at a 7-Eleven by placing a urine sample in the microwave, causing it to explode. The clerk told police he saw the woman exit the store. He ran after her as he noticed yellow liquid dripping from the microwave. The clerk demanded she clean up the mess. She wiped it onto the floor and ran out. The clerk called police. They found the woman at a health clinic waiting for a drug test for a future job. They reminded her urine blew up where people prepare food. She told them it was not real urine. Just as a sidebar, Paul, this is not the first time urine has exploded in a 7-Eleven microwave. Last year, police in Oregon responded to a similar incident when a suspicious object exploded in the store's microwave, only to learn the object was a urine sample wrapped in a hand warmer.
All I can think is that somewhere on the internet, there's an urban legend that if you microwave your urine, somehow you can pass the drug test. So I'm going to take a calculated risk and say this is true.
Absolutely is 1,000% true. And how could it not be? Or if it was somebody else's urine that they gave her a sample, but it wasn't warm enough and she's trying to get it to body temperature?
Yeah, that too.
You know, I didn't think of that.
Yeah, maybe.
People are
crazy. Wow.
Dateline Chicago. As part of an effort to boost attendance by offering up a more close and personal experience, the Chicago White Sox announced a new promotion on Thursday that put the first 9 fans arriving at the ballpark in this quote, starting next week, will bring down several lucky fans for a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity to meet their favorite players on the field and take their place in the starting lineup for the full 9 innings, said Chairman Jerry Reisendorf, adding that each fan will receive a complimentary hat, pair of cleats, and scouting report before representing the White Sox against the best players of the major leagues. He added that a few people will get the unforgettable memories of representing the White Sox while also providing a much better experience for fans in the stands.
Well, the Sox are having kind of a rough start, but I don't think even the White Sox would have fans take the field. There is too much money at stake. No, that is fake news.
I just couldn't resist that one.
That was good, though. Was that the onion?
I ripped it off the onion. Okay. Yeah, it was so clever, though. I thought you would laugh. A 30-year-old man, this is Dateline New York, Syracuse, by the way. A 30-year-old man was outraged Tuesday after a judge ordered him to vacate his parents' home following months of the couple demanding their son to leave the New York residence. At first, the couple wrote a note and left it on their son's bed that he would have 2 weeks to leave the house. He's 30 years old, by the way. Mm. 2 weeks to leave the house. He said that was absolutely unfair. They bribed him with $1,100 and to help him find a place to stay. He said absolutely not. As a last resort, they went to the county courthouse and demanded they evict him. He came back doing his homework, saying a family member cannot be evicted if that's the truth. They have to give him 6 months notice if they want.
6 months?
6 months notice. On what? Tuesday, the judge did not provide in court a specific move-out date, but he said he hoped the family could come to an agreement before he had to take legal action.
That is just bizarre enough. I think that's sadly true. Three for three, baby!
Dude's 30. Get a job. Get out of the house.
Get out of our basement.
Get out of my house.
Wow.
He told the judge that the parents don't help him with laundry and food. They just provide a place to live. Dude, get out of my house.
I'd be embarrassed.
And at this point, your parents obviously don't want you there. Why would you want to live there?
Well, it's free, well, I right? Guess. Free has a nice ring.
So there's that.
Mooch off mom and dad as long as I can and just hang out.
You're three for three today.
Yeah, what do I win?
My love and admiration. Yeah. You're getting better.
A new screensaver on my laptop. That is my wife.
When we get back, Representative Erin Murphy will join us. She is running for in the governor's race. She's going to join us to talk about her platform in a moment.
Radio.com.
Paul and Jordana back with you on a muggy Tuesday. It's about to get hot and sweaty here.
Yeah, my hair can tell.
Oh, please.
All right.
Look, you got hair growing out of your head.
Little bit of whining.
Doesn't matter what color, wiry, straight, curly.
We should talk to our next guest about
be
that.
Be happy with what God gave you.
I am.
We are hosting all of the Minnesota gubernatorial candidates. We've right. already talked with Rebecca Otto. We've talked with Jeff Johnson. Mm-hmm. We hope to have them all on. They mm-hmm. are all invited to share their platforms. Today, we're happy to have Erin Murphy with us, gubernatorial candidate for the DFL. And Erin, welcome to the show, first off.
Thank you very much for having me. It's good to see you, and you both have great hair.
You are nearsighted, darling.
Buttering us up, Paul.
I don't know.
Just telling the truth.
Oh, boy. Listen, what intrigued me right off the bat, so many people rightfully concerned about healthcare. You have a lot of experience in that arena as an RN, as a nurse, and you were also executive director of the Minnesota Nurses Association. You are a supporter of single payer. Talk about healthcare and what your experience brings to the table.
So I think having cared for patients is the right foundation to talk about healthcare. Because you know the lived experience of people who are sick. And in a market-driven system, if we focus on a market, it is often the people who are sick who most need the care that are the ones that sit on the margins. They're expensive, and they often get shuffled around. And that's why it was so important that when we passed the Affordable Care Act, that we said no more cutting people out because they have pre-existing conditions, which had been the policy in Minnesota and across this country for far too long. I feel like I am littered with the stories of Minnesotans who are experiencing drug costs that are too high, deductibles that are too high, surprise bills because they're getting procedures mm-hmm. done that are being done by providers who are not in their network. And it is, while we have made great advances in terms of coverage, the cost issues have not been reconciled here in Minnesota. They weren't really a part of the Affordable Care Act, and that's where we need to go. My aim is to make sure that people who are sick get the care that they need and that we continue to extend those measures that make sure that we're doing all that we can to keep people healthy, out of the hospital, independent on their own. And I know that we can do it in Minnesota. We've led on this issue for years and years, and I am ready. I've got the head, the heart, and the experience to do that.
How would you do it differently? We rolled out Minshore, which was sort of taking the bull by the horns and not just falling back on the Affordable Care Act. So we here in Minnesota tried to do it on our own. A lot of that failed miserably. How would you do it differently?
So when I went to work for the nurses, for the Minnesota Nurses Association, my first work there was as an organizer and bringing nurses support to the passage of Minnesota Care, which we did 26 years ago. When we did that, we led the nation and said, if you work for a living but don't have access to coverage through your employer, we're going to make sure there's access available for you. So for 26 years now, Minnesota Care has been a stable, statewide health care coverage opportunity for people. And I think on our way to the passage of the Minnesota Health Plan, something that John Marty has been working on for years and years, we should open up Minnesota Care for anybody who wants to buy in and build the infrastructure that allows the state, who contracts right now with the health plans, to contract directly with the providers. I have a lot of faith in our nurses and our doctors, our clinics, to do the work that they need to do without the interference of the health plans who are using their tools right now to deny care. And as a result of that, I think people are getting the short end of the stick, and we're spending a tremendous amount in health care, in administration, and I'd like to streamline that. So I think that we need to work within the bounds of what we're spending right now in healthcare, because we spend more than most any industrialized nation. We're not getting the outcomes that we should be getting, and that is especially true for people of color and Native people. And I've got, you know, as I said, a lot of ambition about this. It's important for people's health. Mm-hmm. It's important for the state's budget, and it's really important for the state economy.
Erin, at the top of your list, too, from a platform standpoint, I noticed equity and justice. You talk a lot about inequity, inequality. Can you explain what you would bring to the table and how you, as governor, could help us along those lines?
You know, Minnesota is a state that is always proud to be at the top of lists, and we are, you know, happy to brag about that a little bit. We're good humble braggers when it comes to the things that we're doing right and doing well, and I love
like that
about
humble
us.
Braggers.
Mm-hmm. We are. But we are at the bottom of this list. We're the second most unequal state when it comes to racial disparities. And I think that we have to rectify that. We have to put that on the table. And when I got into this race now, 18 months ago, I said I was running for governor to build our future, and I want to build our future.
How are we going to handle racial disparities?
And I think the first thing we have to do is to acknowledge it. And I talk about it everywhere I go, because a campaign should be the place where we build support for an idea, support for the need to make a change. I was fortunate in my first term to work on an idea called a healthcare home, which is really about care coordination in healthcare. And we put that into place in 2008, and a look back by the Department of Health reviewed it and said we saved the state about $1 billion over 5 years, but we also closed some of the racial disparities in health and health outcomes because we built a system that was reaching to people. We need to close the opportunity gap for kids, for young kids, and I think that starts with early education and early investment and making sure that our schools are doing that same thing, that same concept of a healthcare home reaching into communities with full-service community schools and more teachers of color. I think we need to end the standard that we have in place, that deadly use of force that law enforcement is able to use, that was the reason why the person who shot and killed Philando Castile was acquitted for that crime. I think that that standard is wrong, and we need to make that different so we balance the relationship between citizens and law enforcement. And I think that we have to think about earning power, and we know that women of color and Native women earn less than white women and certainly less than white men. So there are a number of concrete policy solutions that I think we need to pursue. But the opportunity that I have as the governor of the state of Minnesota is to use that people's pulpit to talk about it, to bring Minnesotans, the hopeful voices of Minnesotans, around the idea that this is something we should tackle and that we can tackle and that we will.
What are you most disappointed that didn't get done at the end of your session? I know the governor still has time, whether or not he's going to veto certain bills. But what were you hoping to really get accomplished?
Yeah, we needed to do a bonding bill. We needed to take on elder abuse. We needed to advance something on the opioid crisis. From my perspective, we needed to show Minnesotans again. The legislature needed to show Minnesotans again that we take seriously the work that we're doing about Minnesota and Minnesotans. And in my 12 years in the legislature, I have been a part of some really tremendous sessions and tremendous issues that we have advanced. And I have been very, very proud to serve there. But in the last number of years, I have watched us move in the direction of a Washington, D.C. kind of politics that is really focused on beating the other side, and getting into the next election to win the next election and hold on to power. And what's getting lost in that are Minnesotans and the things we need to do to build our future. And a good example of that from my perspective is the day after the session, I saw in social media a lit piece that was put out by the Republican caucus saying, you know, we did everything Governor Dayton wanted us to do. And they listed off things that he said he wanted and what they had done to accomplish that. The relationship between legislators and the work that we do there or the state government should be with Minnesotans. We should be grading ourselves against the things that Minnesotans want. And there are evident issues over and over again when I think about what Minnesotans all over the state are asking for: solutions in healthcare, investment in broadband, a real solution on transportation, childcare and childcare access. Those issues that are the building blocks of our families and our lives and our communities, those are standing neglected because we're playing a game, not me necessarily, but the legislature along with the governor are playing games and not delivering on the things that we need to do for the people of Minnesota. And the last thing I'll say, you know, the Congress decided to do a big tax cut provision. You know, they passed that great big tax bill. And in Minnesota, we need to conform in order for the tax filers next year to be able to file. I did not vote for the tax bill last year. I did not vote for this tax bill. One of the things I was most happy to do, and this sounds super nerdy, but when I was the majority leader working with Governor Dayton, we balanced the budget for real. It's stable. And we got rid of the gimmicks and shifts that had been a part of the Plenty administration for years and put the budget back together again and put Minnesota back together again. And the tax cuts that were embedded in the bill that got signed into law last year and in this bill that I hope Governor Dayton vetoes will take us back in the direction of deficits and an unstable budget. And that's no good if you believe that we have work to do to plan our future.
Erin Murphy, thank you so much for joining us, and thank you for the explanations.
Thanks, Erin. Good luck.
Thank you very much for having me.
We appreciate it. It's a lovely Tuesday afternoon. Mm-hmm. Thank you for spending some time with me and Paul and Hammer.
We started the show asking for your comments about when's the last time you stuck your foot in your mouth.
Mm-hmm. Yours was very recently.
Yes, yes, and I keep doing it.
Almost daily.
Really? On the air, many times.
Me too. It's a wonder I get out of a segment without offending somebody.
Paul, somebody looking at my sister-in-law's wedding photo said, "How nice, she's dancing with her father." Nope, it was her husband.
Brutal.
We still tease him about that. Oh, boy.
When my son was 4 years old, my mom took him to McDonald's. While they were standing in line, he announced to everybody in the restaurant in a very loud voice, "This is my grandma. She's old and tired." Nice.
Went to a Twins game with a friend. We went up to the club bar upstairs. The lady bartender asked if we were trolling for girls. I said I would need a note from my wife. And my friend said, "No, I'm gay." Both of which are true. We still laugh about that one.
I hope the bartender laughed as well.
Oh, man.
By the way, for those of you who have asked a woman when the baby's due when she wasn't pregnant, we got some great advice.
Yep.
Go ahead.
Instead of, never ask how many months pregnant. Instead, ask how many children do you have? If she's pregnant, she will let you know then.
Ah.
I learned something today.
So she'll say, like, "This is my first," or, you know, "two and one on the way."
Right. That's smart.
Nice.
This is one of my favorites. Paul and Jordana, "Please Pass Condiments" came out past the condoms.
Yes.
Oh,
enjoy that as we take a quick break for news. Paul and I will be back here on CCO.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.